Hi, guys.
Hey,
guys,
boys.
Doing?
What fabulous place is hosting your fantastic show today?
Yeah, what?
A country club.
What strip club are you guys at?
We're at a club, yeah. But it's
perfect
a country.
Tens
it's
fan
a country
you with
club.
Grape leaves.
With golf. We're at the Tribute up in the Colony, buddy.
Oh, how nice.
It's 79 degrees. We're in the shade, and there's golf happening all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Parked our convertible car.
The funny thing is that there are actually stones in the brush that are actually speakers that play that song at every hole.
Yeah. That's actually
right,
the theme
right when
song.
You tee up the ball, that's what yep. happens.
Vivaldi's actually here in a golf cart.
He's a member.
And he's just, yeah, he's a member here. He's just driving around with us playing whatever instrument that is.
So
hold on.
So Cash is the better disc golf player, but Mike is the better golf player.
No, Mike is better at both.
That's false on both fronts, friends.
Yeah, Mike is
better. How does it feel that your little brother is so much better than you?
I am like a super version of you. I'm like taller. I am better looking. I'm less bald.
It's like Vita perfected it with Mike.
Yeah.
Like you were the trial run.
In the Petri dish,
you were the practice baby.
Mr. Perfect.
Well, that is not the case. I would argue that I have my pluses.
Well,
I don't know. I wouldn't say that.
I mean, we're all beautiful in God's eyes, so.
Yeah. Right.
There is no God.
Pray for
me. Oh, wow. Jake Kemp joining us now.
What have I been... Who have I been praying to Paul George for, then? I don't understand.
Yeah. I'm with you, Cash.
I don't think Paul George's leg would heal unless we all prayed for it.
That's right.
It would just become gangrenous
those
and
who
fall
are
off.
Praying,
that's not a word.
Those who are
I don't
praying
think that's
hard
a word.
For him, they realize a doctor is going to do this, right? So they're praying for God
for
to...
For steady hands.
To steady the hands of the surgeon who went to school and
yes.
he's ready to do this surgery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they're praying for him to just feel good while he's rehabbing and while
I think,
he's in pain.
I think all of it. They're praying for the surgeon to do a good job, and then they're praying for a fast recovery.
Well, are those whose hands are those in? Aren't those in his body and the healing
yeah.
process?
Yeah, and he's the one that created the healing power of bones.
So when you
just not for horses.
When
I
you
just don't
close your eyes and fold your hands and
get on my knees.
And get on your knees and send these whispery words and thoughts.
Put your elbows up on the edge of the mattress.
Yeah, to the
right.
to space that
I'm
somehow that is going to influence how bones. Well
you don't believe in the power of prayer either, do you, Danny?
Doctor performs surgery.
Right, that'll make the doctor do a better job. Okay.
Do a better
No, that
surgery.
Makes sense then. Okay, Danny
yeah.
explained it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Very good. All right, Paul.
And it may or may not happen. No
right.
matter how hard
wouldn't,
you pray.
Wouldn't you maybe be better served to, like, donate money to the hospital or...
To train the next round of surgeons
right,
so that the next Paul George that happens, he'll be able to
then
walk
we have more surgeons, and then we wouldn't have to bother God with
right.
this stuff because we'd know we have
He's
reliable
worry about
surgeons.
He's going to worry about
what if,
war.
But what if it's God's will that... Paul George's leg just falls off.
What if Paul George died on the table?
All-star.
What if there was an accident with the anesthetic?
Right. But wouldn't that be God's will?
But
because
Paul,
is it everything that happens in life God's will?
God needed a Paul George in heaven.
Yeah.
Well,
so
he's not going to die.
God
that's
wasn't
why
paying attention. He was over there surfing Reddit.
God is putting together a basketball team.
God was
and
over
he
on
needed Paul George
needed
more than we did.
He
God needed
rebounding.
A small forward.
You know what? Paul George was just too good for this world. That's what it was.
No, he's still alive. I was just speaking
hypothetically. But if he did die, that's what
with,
we would say.
He's
too
up good.
There with George Mikan.
I don't get any of this stuff, guys.
I know, because people can't get their heads around the fact that the world is a random, terrible place.
Things happen. They just
and
happen.
And guess what? Getting on your knees and holding your hands together, it's not going to change anything.
But
you don't have the power to fix that.
But
sure.
I bet you, like, the GNBA, the God NBA is probably...
The HNBA?
Yeah, the Heaven NBA.
Yeah.
That those games are awesome.
Oh, my God. Nobody travels?
They just fly with wings to their next destination.
Everything dunks. Everybody dunks.
Like, do you have to have a ticket to an HNBA game,
no,
or can
you
just
see
go?
See it in your mind. You're part of it.
You're just
already there.
You just teleport
but
there.
But it's the spiritual world. There's
you're
no physical
there.
It's just like this. It's all. I don't know, man. It's too heavy discussion,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. So if it's if there's no space and time in heaven, then how do you make a schedule for human beings?
Right. How do you get to the games? Somehow, and where do they hold the games?
Somehow, the San Antonio Spurs in heaven can play even when the rodeo's in town. The schedule is just made.
You know who's coaching my HNBA team? Chuck Daly.
That's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, he's a great coach, and he's up there.
Well, give
you
me
know what?
Tom Landry's coaching my
Wooden.
HNBA team.
That's Wooden. Weird.
I've got Wooden.
You got Wooden?
I've got Wooden.
Lombardi.
I got Red.
Lombardi doesn't know anything about hoops.
I got Red.
I'll motivate I got the Red. Out of you.
Yeah, but you're your idealized self in heaven. So Tom Landry could apply his coaching knowledge to basketball very easily.
Easily.
And then the
HNBA. And then when they go interleague, they go up against the hell team where Hitler is the head coach.
He's Hitler. Hitler's just chomping gum on the sidelines.
Just screaming at his players. They're
chewing
not having any fun.
Just chewing pointing, on his towel.
Pointing right. and screaming.
Trying to figure out how to use fire to their advantage.
With his all-white team.
Yeah.
In hell. Hell.
Yeah. Hell hoops.
Hey,
is,
Danny.
Is hell a road game? I mean...
Yeah, that's the only road game.
Is it,
no,
is
it's
it
in
neutral
purgatory.
Site.
It's just
yeah, it's neutral
site.
Site.
Purgatory. It's just never any home and homes, and then
no because
friendlies in purgatory.
Heaven doesn't want to give up those ticket receipts, you know?
No.
And hell doesn't travel.
You think these gold streets pave themselves?
Costs money, bitch.
Maybe it's in Vegas.
Oh,
hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Blasphemy. Real quick.
Isn't blasphemy the
Which
best?
One is this?
That's one of us.
The little one.
I need...
The baby one? The tiny one?
So I just got off the phone with Mike Reiner.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Name dropper.
Who, wish I had his number.
Who told me a story, but I want to hear your version of it because it ties into something that's going to happen on our show later on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sat with the great Don Henley this week. And
wow, double name dropper.
Sat with him.
I sat with him. And I recorded a bit of audio where he started talking about listening to The Ticket.
Really?
And an interaction that he had with somebody at The Ticket, he couldn't quite place who it was, in a Whole Foods parking lot. Do you know this story?
I do not.
Okay. Well, evidently, Mr. Mike Reiner was in a Whole Foods parking lot one time, and he said that he was coming out and in a hurry, and his car was parked next to a black Escalade of some sort, and it was a windy day. And evidently, as he opened the door... His door slammed into the black Escalade or whatever.
Okay.
Out pops Don Henley. And the way that I guess that Mike had told the story on air, Don Henley was none too pleased by this door situation.
As he should be.
As he should be. And kind of, you know, bowed up a little bit and, you know, was a little bit upset. So evidently Don Henley was listening when Mike was telling the story, and he took umbrage with some of the details of the incident, and I guess he didn't think that he was painted in the proper light. And so he starts explaining this to me, and I'm like, well, do you mind if I just roll on you telling me the story, Mr. Don Henley?
Don.
And he says, yeah, sure. And so coming up later, when are we going to play that, do you know?
Nope.
Well, coming up later, we're going to play that audio, but I was hoping that you could help me with the story. On
he doesn't
air,
sound like he's helping,
since you don't
I've got
know
nothing.
It,
he's not helping.
God, really?
You don't want to package it for the hard line and cross-promote your dumb show?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But actually, didn't Don Henley say he'd come on?
No, the point is Don Henley wants to come on.
And settle this.
Settle this.
That'd be great.
With the crazy old man who slammed his door in my door.
He's got an album coming out like second quarter of next year or whatever. And he's like, oh, maybe when we're done with the Eagles tour, you know, I'll be in Dallas and I'll come up there.
Be great.
So
I love Don Henley.
What I'm trying, to get you, Don Henley.
I love Don Henley.
He's great.
He's a good friend of mine.
So Mike was saying when they told the story on the air initially, Mike was saying that
that it was all Don Henley's fault.
No, that Don was being rude and curmudgeon-y.
Something along those lines. Yes.
And Don is like, well, he bashed my car with his door. Of course, I'm going to be upset. Did they exchange insurance info?
Was there damage done?
Did Mike write him a check?
These are the questions you're going to have to... we're going to have to dig deeper on this story.
Yeah, 12:50 today.
Damn. Well, I don't know if I can wait.
Maybe we can ask Paul George in heaven to to, like, we can have a seance and he can tell us. Cause,
do you know my name? Because
when you're in heaven, you know, like, Paul aren't George you omnipotent too, heaven? Or is it just God that's omnipotent?
I will drive the lane. So, now one more thing. Oh,
there's more stuff.
Jumbotron.
Yeah. Oh, the big
not the small TV, the big TV.
Yeah, not the 14-inch Magnavox in the
We were at the soccer game, Cassius.
West end zone.
What are you talking about?
Real Madrid versus AS Roma game.
Yeah.
It's AS Roma.
And those dudes were all there, and I was like, all right, let's have a halftime beer pound behind the jumbotron.
We know what that means.
Yeah, I think that means that Mike had crafted a bong out of an apple.
And I got it in, as usual.
Yeah.
No, so I was like, let's meet behind the jumbotron. Okay, now let me ask you, Cash will settle this for us. Now, there is a big, large jumbotron, and I get, when you say jumbotron, that means the biggest in the building. Mm-hmm. I get that. I screwed up. I didn't even notice the big one when I said jumbotron, because there's a smaller one on whatever, the other end of the Cotton Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But on one end, when I said meet behind the jumbotron, there's a smaller one with bustling bar service directly behind it in, like, the plaza and everything.
Uh-huh.
On the other side is the jumbotron that's up on the top of the Cotton Bowl with air and certain death behind it.
Without seeing the actual image in my head, the first thing that I thought of is the big, massive one that I
know.
Yeah,
and there's
there.
Concessions right behind that, although we...
Well, they're kind of right under it. It's not actually literally behind it. Yeah, Mike was saying that if you took what his text meant in the literal sense, then we would have been behind...
Yeah, and we would have just been falling in air.
The little, but you would say little jumbotron.
Yeah. Well, okay. And we went behind the big jumbotron. And
we tried to find you.
And we were looking for a bald guy with an apple bong.
Uh-huh.
And
just
we waited.
Smoke billowing up.
Uh-huh.
And we were waiting.
For my locale.
We were waiting in line for our beer to chug our halftime beer. And it turns out we were in the stupid snow cone line.
Oh, no.
Man,
really?
And those little freaking bastards. I mean, we are in line for a good 10 minutes. And we get up there, and it's like, yeah, I need a water. And he needs, it's like, oh, just snow cones only in this line. We're like, are you kidding me?
Where's the sign, bro?
I go, there's a sign right next to here with that says beer and an arrow pointing at you. And it was these two little high school kids. I wanted to punch their faces.
And then so as we turn around to leave.
We start telling everybody.
We're telling everybody in the line, there's no beer in this line. There's no beer in this line. It's like 50 people deep, all thinking that they're going to get a Coors Light.
Did they all leave?
Yeah.
Holy, good work by you.
Yeah.
So would you go with blueberry?
No, I didn't get a
snow cone.
Rainbow? Like the John 3:16 guy?
At that point, you should probably just got the snow cone, though.
I don't want a snow cone. I wanted,
if I had met you in your apple bong, maybe I would have wanted one.
There you go.
And I looked at the kid. I was like, you're telling me that you can't reach over there, grab a bottle of water, and take my $4.
They were probably under 18. They probably weren't allowed to touch
to
the
serve
beer.
Water. I didn't even want a effing beer.
But boy, you're angry.
Yeah. That was stupid.
I am too.
It was.
I'm angry.
And Davey's yelling.
You.
I was like, you might want to put up a sign. A sign, like right here. You should put up a sign that says no beer.
Snow cones only, yeah. No beer.
God, you guys need an apple.
It's just looking at it like, oh, my God.
I need to eat the apple after we're all
apples.
Done with it.
Yuck.
Oh, how about them apples? All right,
so where are you guys? Classic BMW?
No, we're at the Tribute Golf Club. No, yo, dude, how pissed would you be if we...
When are you going to have Vivaldi on?
If we side-doored into that gig.
You can have it.
Let's have
a
good mix.
They don't want us anymore.
Let's have a good mix with you guys.
Hey, we don't sell out to the man just so we can go do freaking remotes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We don't neuter our edgy, awesome thought-out content just so we can go sit on a golf course and collect talent fees.
Yeah.
We keep it real.
We'll talk about somebody handling Danny's balls on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for stealing Nut Talk, by the way. Yeah. Now we can't do it this week.
We were going to do Nut Talk.
Well.
Well,
maybe you should have a show that's on at 10 and not noon, and you can get to it first.
Then maybe you can beat us all the good content.
You know what? That time slot doesn't sell.
We wouldn't allow them to bury us in the 10 a.m. slot.
Clearly.
You guys go straight to hell.
Yeah, with Paul George.
See if you can get season tickets to Hitler's
Coach
team.
Hitler.